You don't have to give up carbs to control blood sugar. Change how you eat them. When people think about controlling blood sugar, carbohydrates are often the first thing they consider cutting. Bread disappears, rice portions shrink, and fruit may be treated almost like dessert. But managing blood sugar does not necessarily require eliminating carbohydrates or buying expensive supplements. What may matter just as much is what form those carbohydrates take, what you eat with them, how much you eat, and even the order in which foods reach your plate. Simple, daily dietary choices can play an important role in supporting balanced blood sugar levels, Jonathan Liu, director of the LIU's Wisdom Healing Center in Canada, told the Epoch Times. A healthy food can behave differently after processing. One of the easiest places to see this principle is breakfast. Many popular breakfast choices, including cereal, pancakes, toast with jam, sweetened coffee drinks, fruit juice, and some plant-based beverages, can contain carbohydrates that are quickly digested and absorbed. Oats illustrate how processing can change a food. Whole oats contain beta-glucan, a soluble fiber that can slow digestion and glucose absorption. Oat beverages, however, are processed differently, and their carbohydrate and fiber content can vary considerably among products. Some may therefore produce a different blood sugar response than intact oats. This does not mean oat milk is inherently unhealthy. Rather, it highlights an important principle. The metabolic effect of a food depends not only on its ingredients, but also on how those ingredients have been processed and what else is consumed with them. The distinction becomes even more important with sugary beverages. Sodas, sweetened coffee and tea drinks, fruit drinks, sports drinks, and energy drinks can deliver substantial amounts of sugar without the intact fiber found in whole foods. Because carbohydrates in beverages generally require less digestion than those locked within intact plant structures, they can be absorbed quickly. For blood sugar management, therefore, asking whether a food contains carbohydrates may be less useful than asking, how processed is it, how quickly will I digest it, and what am I eating with it? Build the meal around vegetables. Vegetables are one of the simplest ways to make a meal more blood sugar friendly. Broccoli, kale, spinach, onions, and other non-starchy vegetables generally provide fiber with relatively little digestible carbohydrate. Fiber can slow digestion, increase fullness, and help moderate the glucose response to a meal. Cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli and kale also contain numerous antioxidant and anti-inflammatory phytochemicals. Purple onions provide another example. Their outer layers are particularly rich in quercetin, a flavonoid being studied for potential effects on glucose metabolism and insulin sensitivity. Sai Fong, a nutritionist and junior engineer in health foods at Koi Nutrition Taiwan, told the Epoch Times that darker-colored purple onions tend to contain more quercetin. Spinach and other leafy greens, meanwhile, provide magnesium, potassium, folate, and other micronutrients while contributing relatively little carbohydrate. Rather than searching for one blood sugar-lowering vegetable, however, a more practical strategy is to make non-starchy vegetables a substantial part of most meals. Liu also recommends a food that receives considerably less attention in discussions of blood sugar, mushrooms. Mushrooms are low in calories and provide fiber as well as bioactive compounds, including various polysaccharides. Their texture and volume can also add substantial bulk to a meal without adding large amounts of carbohydrate. Liu suggests a simple formula for everyday meals: a protein dish, a vegetable dish, and a serving of mushrooms. Mushrooms should not be viewed as a treatment for high blood sugar, but they can be an easy way to replace some more calorie-dense or refined foods while increasing the variety and volume of a meal. You don't have to give up fruit. Fruit is another food people sometimes unnecessarily eliminate when trying to control blood sugar. Whole fruit contains naturally occurring sugars, but it also provides fiber, water, vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals. That makes eating an intact piece of fruit metabolically different from drinking a sweetened beverage or even drinking fruit juice. Sai recommends choosing whole fruit in sensible portions rather than avoiding it altogether. Some options may be particularly useful. Guava is rich in vitamin C and fiber and is relatively low in sugar compared with many commonly eaten fruits. Kiwi provides fiber and vitamin C and contains actinidin, an enzyme involved in protein digestion. Studies have also investigated whether kiwi consumed as part of a meal may moderate post-meal glucose responses. Avocado, botanically a fruit, is unusual because most of its calories come from fat rather than sugar. It is rich in fiber and unsaturated fats and has little effect on blood glucose when eaten on its own. The larger point, Tsai said, is moderation. Excessive consumption of added fructose, particularly through sugar-sweetened foods and beverages, may contribute to adverse metabolic effects. But that should not be confused with moderate consumption of whole fruit, which comes packaged with fiber and nutrients. Portion size still matters. Choosing whole foods does not make portion size irrelevant. A large serving of brown rice, for example, can still provide a substantial carbohydrate load even though it is generally a more nutrient-dense choice than highly refined alternatives. Liu recommends thinking about the overall balance of the plate rather than banning starch. A practical meal might contain plenty of non-starchy vegetables, a palm-sized portion of protein, and a moderate serving of minimally processed carbohydrate. For carbohydrates, options include brown rice, corn, sweet potatoes, quinoa, beans, and other intact or minimally processed grains and starchy foods. For protein, Tsai recommends emphasizing legumes, fish and seafood, eggs, and poultry while limiting processed meats and moderating red meat. Nuts and seeds can provide unsaturated fats, protein, fiber, and minerals. A small handful can work as a snack or addition to a meal, particularly when it replaces refined snack foods. The goal is not to create a mathematically perfect plate at every meal. It is to prevent one rapidly digested carbohydrate from dominating the meal. Try changing the order you eat. What you eat matters, but emerging research suggests that when different components of a meal are eaten may matter too. Tsai recommends starting with vegetables or protein and eating carbohydrate-rich staple foods afterward. This approach may help moderate the post-meal rise in glucose because fiber, protein, and fat can slow gastric emptying and carbohydrate absorption. In practical terms, that might mean starting dinner with vegetables and fish, then eating the rice rather than beginning with a large bowl of rice. It is a small change that does not require eliminating any major food group. Cooking methods can reinforce the same principle. Tsai recommends relatively simple preparation methods such as steaming, boiling, stewing, roasting, grilling, or light pan frying while limiting sugary sauces and marinades. What a day of eating could look like. A blood sugar conscious diet does not need to be complicated. Breakfast: a fist-sized sweet potato with 2 eggs, a green salad dressed with olive oil and vinegar, and a cup of milk. Lunch: half a cup of brown rice with baked or stewed chicken, tofu, and plenty of vegetables, followed by a small serving of whole fruits such as berries, apple, or guava. Snack: unsweetened Greek yogurt with a small handful of unsalted nuts. Dinner: a moderate serving of quinoa, brown rice, or another whole grain. A palm-sized serving of fish, mushrooms, and leafy greens. And a clear vegetable-based soup. A kiwi can be eaten afterward. The exact foods can change according to culture, season, preference, and individual glucose response. The important feature is the structure. Vegetables and protein anchor the meal, while carbohydrates remain present but do not dominate it. Liu connects this approach with a principle from the ancient Chinese medical text Huangdi Neijing, or Yellow Emperor's Inner Classic, which describes grains as nourishment, fruits as assistance, meats as benefit, and vegetables as replenishment. Although written long before modern metabolic science, the underlying idea is recognizable today. Health is supported by dietary variety and balance rather than reliance on a single superfood. Blood sugar control doesn't end at the dinner table. Food is only one part of glucose regulation. Muscle is a major site of glucose disposal. When muscles contract during physical activity, they use glucose for energy, and maintaining muscle mass can support insulin sensitivity. That makes regular movement, and particularly resistance exercise, an important complement to dietary changes. Even light activity after eating can be useful. A short walk after a meal, for example, gives working muscles an immediate opportunity to use circulating glucose. Sleep also matters. Experimental studies have found that insufficient or disrupted sleep can impair insulin sensitivity, providing another reason to prioritize consistent, adequate sleep. Chronic stress can work in the opposite direction. Stress hormones such as cortisol help mobilize energy and can raise circulating glucose. Prolonged stress may also increase appetite and make healthy eating more difficult. Blood sugar management, therefore, is not simply a matter of finding the right food. The more sustainable strategy is to build meals that digest more slowly, keep portions reasonable, move regularly, maintain muscle, sleep adequately, and manage chronic stress. You may not need to give up rice, potatoes, or fruit. Sometimes the more useful question is not, can I eat carbohydrates, but how can I eat them better?